Time to do that. Get this thing ready. Father, we just thank you for our time together tonight. Holy Spirit, we pray you speak to us. Anoint us afresh, Lord. We thank you for what you're saying and doing in this hour. And we pray, Lord God, release a fresh awareness. Release faith through the teaching of your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Tonight I want to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that the Lord's really going to minister to several of you through this wonderful teaching. I've been blessed that George and I, we were going back and forth. He's doing a teaching on the Holy Spirit as well. And so every few minutes or so, he would stop me and share with me what the Lord is showing him. And then I'd stop him and, you know, share with him what the Lord is showing me. So I really believe the Lord's going to speak to your hearts. Let's look at our notes and let's begin with the introduction. Well, I used to read the accounts of those who were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And let me just say, rather than just reading that, because I can just tell you with my own words, I used to read the accounts as a young believer, the accounts of those of the apostles, the disciples, especially in the book of Acts, and how their experience with the Holy Spirit was radically different than my experience. And I would begin to compare myself. How come I don't see this in my own life? That led me years ago to a habit that I continue to this very day. If you were to go into my backpack that I have in the briefing room, there's about two different books on the Holy Spirit right now. I'm always reading. I just picked up a new book right now, The Secret to the Power of God by A.A. Allen. Oh, I can't wait to get into that book. But I'm always reading things about the life of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I really believe that, for number one, it feeds me, it keeps me on edge, and it at least gives me, you know, the sense of take a risk. You know, step out on the prophetic edge and trust God for breakthroughs and for the supernatural. I'm still growing in it, but nonetheless, I do get to see the God move in powerful ways as a result, I believe, of always feeding my faith. And so I began, that put me on a journey many, many years ago as a very young believer, which I continue today, to read books. And also I began to do a study in the book of Acts because I wanted to see how the apostles lived, how the disciples lived their journey in God compared to how I was living it and what I saw all around me. As a matter of fact, when in 1982, I was at a Keith Green Memorial Concert. He had just passed away. He had the plane crash in July, and I believe it was that same summer, Melody Green was holding a memorial concert in his honor there at the Hampton Beach Coliseum in Virginia, and I happened to be there. I was a big fan of Keith Green, and in that service, the Lord began to deal with me about giving my life to full-time ministry, and I actually had a tug of war with the Lord. I said to him, no, three times, no, I'm not going to do it, and the Lord asked me why, and here's why. I said to him, because I see how your preachers live. I see their lifestyle. They have a poverty mentality. There's no power. And I don't want to live that way. And the Lord said to me, if you will commit to surrendering your life to full-time ministry, I'll always provide for you. And my spirit will be upon you. So I said, Lord, if you make a promise that you're going to be upon me and that you will always provide for me, then yes, I'll surrender. And I answered the call to ministry there in 1982 at a Keith Green Memorial Concert. So that was the beginning of a deep journey. I bought almost every book I could get my hands on by Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin books on the life of faith and the power of tongues and, you know, baptism in the Holy Spirit. I did many correspondent courses while I was overseas on that Navy ship, you know, in the middle of the ocean. I was studying, crying out for the Lord. You know, I would feel the presence of God. I didn't know exactly what I was feeling until I actually went to a Benny Hinn service. And then I realized, oh my goodness, it's the Holy Spirit. Because I felt it magnified by 1,000 times in the service one time. But nonetheless, that put me on a journey to begin to seek the presence of God because I wanted power. I wanted to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. I did not have this so-called thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't have the baptism of fire. I did not have the promise of the Holy Spirit, the comfort that would come upon me. I did not have the promise of being endued with power. So that put me on a journey to seek the Lord. And I'm so glad. How many of you know that hunger is sometimes your best friend? Hunger and desperation, you know, will either kill you or it will drive you. One of the two. Well, I thank God that that hunger, that sense of desperation put a driving force inside of me. I was hungry. I was desperate. And one day, boom, my Holy Spirit encounter was unforgettable. Unforgettable. So let's look at our notes. Point number one. The disciples had two primary, I'm talking about primary, main experiences. We're going to see tonight that there's multiple fillings or infillings with the Holy Spirit. But the disciples had two primary encounters with the person of the Holy Spirit. And it is the privilege, it is the inheritance of each and every one of us to have both of these encounters. We have a right to encounter two major movements or two major phases of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's find out what they are. Number one, and I want to show you in Scripture where each of these encounters came upon the early church, especially the 12, the 120. Let's look at that. Jesus plainly taught, point A, he plainly taught his disciples that the Father would be sending the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit into the hearts of his disciples. He promised that. Throughout the Gospels, you have that. As a matter of fact, look at your notes. John chapter 7 is one of the very first ones. Jesus said this, on the last day, that great day of the feast. Do you know what feast they're talking about? It was Pentecost season. On that last day of the feast, because the feast, really Passover, it lasted for several days, and then 50 days later was Pentecost, and they celebrated it more than just one day. It was a season, a time of harvest. But it says here, on that last day of the feast, watch this, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts," that's the key right there, thirst. How thirsty are you for the presence of the Holy Spirit? How thirsty are you for the power of God? How thirsty are, how desperate are you for fresh and filling? Just because you row, bow, 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 show one time, 10 years ago, you think that's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. How disappointed we're going to be. Amen? Look at that. Jesus says, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Did he say, when you get thirsty for that one time only? No, it's a continual thirst. We determine how much we're willing to drink from the Holy Spirit. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, now we're talking about faith, he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart, the King James says, out of his belly, will flow rivers of living water. Out of his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Now watch this. But this he spoke concerning, or he was talking about the Spirit, whom those believing in him, watch this, would receive. That's future tense. Jesus is already walking around with these disciples. They're doing healings together. I mean, these disciples were in Holy Ghost training. And Jesus, the Bible says that even though they were around the Spirit-filled Jesus, that these guys would receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, they did not have the Holy Spirit there at that point. Watch this. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing would receive. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit could not be released yet because Jesus had not paid the price yet. So that's very, very clear throughout Scripture. John chapter 14, look what it says, verse 16 and 17. "And I will pray the Father." Now he's speaking to his disciples. "I will pray to the Father, and he's going to give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world can't receive him, because the world does not see him, doesn't discern him, nor does he know him. But you know him. For he dwells," watch this, "he dwells with you, but there's a day coming, he's going to be in you." Do you see the difference? See, the disciples were operating in the measure of the Holy Spirit, but it was the Spirit of God with them, alongside of them, partnering with them, but they did not have the Holy Ghost inside of them. That's a difference. So the Bible makes it very, very clear that every one of us, including the disciples, were promised one day the Spirit of God will not only be with us. Do you know that the Spirit of God is with every unbeliever? I'm going to show that to you in a few seconds here. The Spirit of God is with every unbeliever. David says, you know what? No matter where I find myself, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Even the sinner, the unbeliever. What makes the watch this. What makes the sinner feel convicted in his conscience? The knowledge of sin or the conscience of sin compared to righteousness, which the Holy Spirit highlights. It's the Holy Spirit that allows a conviction throughout all the nations of the earth. That even unbelievers get convicted or feel condemned. That's because of the activity of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with everybody. He's with the believer and the unbeliever. But we have an advantage. The advantage is that we've been promised the Spirit of God would live inside of us. Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive the spirit of fear again to bondage, but you received the spirit of adoption by which you can cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15. I love what 1 Corinthians 2:12 says. You receive the spirit by which you may know all things that are freely given to us by God. We've been given the Holy Spirit to know all the deep things of God. To search, because the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. He knows all the things of God. That's why we've been given the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Whose temple you are. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits which belong to God. We are the temple, the house of God. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 19 and 20. Ephesians 2:20 says that each of us are being built together as a spiritual habitation. I mean, it's clear in Scripture, the vision of God is to make you a house of God. A chamber for the power of the Holy Spirit. A chamber for the presence of the Lord. That's His vision. We must submit to that. Point B. Not only does the Bible teach the promise of the Spirit of God, but the Bible teaches that the person of the Holy Spirit is actually the agent, the spiritual agent by which man can be saved by the work of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Look at it in your notes at the bottom of the page. Jesus answered and said, truly I say unto you, or most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When your mama gave birth to you, you were born of the flesh. But the moment you repented of your sin, you were born of the Spirit. Only the Holy Ghost can produce life and produce a new creation. That's what Corinthians 5:17 says. That we are made into new creatures by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5, look at the top of your notes. It's not by works of righteousness which we do or which we've done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So it is clear, the Scriptures that we just read, the promise of Jesus in John chapter 7, the promise of Jesus in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, Titus chapter 3, it is clear in Scripture that the Holy Spirit's primary work for us, the first work of the Spirit of God in everyone's life, is to get you born again. That's the first work of the Spirit of God. That's the first major encounter the Holy Spirit had with the disciples. Where do you say that that is found? It's found in the next verse. Look at point C. On the day of ascension, when Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven, when He was raised from the dead, on that same day, when He ascended out of hell, not the actual ascension into heaven, because that was 40 days later, but on the day of resurrection, when He ascended from hell, the disciple John tells us that Jesus came to where the disciples were hiding. They were hiding because they feared the Jews. Here are these great future shakers and movers of the earth, shakers of the nation, and what are they doing? They're hiding in a room. The Bible says they were hiding for fear of the Jews. Why were they hiding? Because they didn't want to get crucified like Jesus was crucified 3 days earlier. That's why they were hiding. They were afraid. Why? Because they had not received the spirit of adoption yet. Did not the Bible say, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered? Every one of them fled, including John. They all fled at the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Because of fear. They fled. They denied the Lord. All 12 of them did. Because they were still bound by the spirit of the world. They were still bound by the spirit of fear in their hearts. Even though they wanted to be free. But they weren't born again yet. How could you say they weren't born again? They weren't born again yet because the Spirit of God was not living in them. The Spirit of God influenced them. But the Spirit of God was not living inside of them. When did that happen? It happened here in John chapter 20. Look at this. So Jesus said to them again, peace. The first result, one of the first immediate fruits when you receive salvation is peace with God and peace in your heart. That's why Jesus says, peace. First thing he says, don't be afraid. Peace to you. Watch this. As the Father sent me, I'm going to send you. Wait a second. Jesus, how could you send these 11 of them, because one committed suicide. How could you send these 11 disciples out into the streets, the highways and the byways, when they're bound by fear, they're hiding for their lives? Jesus, I got a plan. Here's a plan. Watch this. Also, I will send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Wait a second. Hold on a second. I thought they received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. Wait, you're missing or you're confusing these two major experiences. See, not me. You hear very few preachers teach on this, but I've heard of handful. This is their born-again experience. Jesus could not be referring to Acts chapter 2 encounter because he tells them again in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you're filled or endued with power from on high. Well, so he can't be referring to receiving the Holy Ghost of the Acts 2 promise here in John chapter 20 because he tells them later to wait in Jerusalem. He tells it, listen, Jesus tells him this 50 days before Pentecost. Are you hearing me? This breathing of the Holy Ghost coming upon them was 50 days before actual day of Pentecost. So it's a different experience of the Holy Ghost. What was the experience? Let me tell you what the experience is. Everybody turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2. George, can you get a microphone if you don't mind? Or Keith or somebody. You can get the prayer mic. Somebody get the prayer mic there. I want you to go with me. Everybody go to Genesis in chapter 2. Are you learning something here today? Genesis in chapter 2. Oh, I love teaching the word of the Lord. It's my greatest joy in life. Genesis chapter 2. Watch this. Why did Jesus breathe on them? Here's why. Look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. It says this. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and he breathed. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath. Watch this. The breath of life. And man became, watch this. Man became a living being. The problem was that man died. Because man died spiritually, he sinned. He died spiritually as well. So what did Jesus have to do? Jesus, this time, had to breathe the breath of God all over, but inside, the Spirit of God now came to live inside of the disciples. It's a greater birth than when Adam was created. Adam had the life of God, the, you know, perfection all around him, but he did not have what Peter had. He did not have this Holy Spirit living in, because the Spirit of God was all over them. It was practically perfect. There was no sin. But the moment he sinned, he died, and Jesus had to restore what Adam had lost, but with greater measure. And that's why Jesus had to breathe. This was, Adam became a living being. Watch this. We become living spirits. Do you see the difference? We have become living spirits. Adam became a living being. Life to his flesh. But now, we're living spirits. We have the breath of God breathe upon us and into us. This is a new birth experience. Go to Job 33 verse 4. Watch this. Job 33, verse 4. Would you read that for me? Job 33, verse 4 is a powerful verse. I'm sorry, I thought I told you to get there. My bad. Well, it's there on the screen. You can read it if you want, behind you if you want. Job 33, verse 4 says,
"The Spirit the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life."
The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Could that be two references to Adam? The Spirit of God made me, and then us, the breath of God of the Almighty gives me life. The Spirit of God makes us. Oh, but I'm telling you something. It's the breath of God that comes inside of us that we become a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is the advantage that we have. Basically, what happened to the early church here in John chapter 2, 20 and 20, 21 and 22 is that they were born again. This is the first major experience they received. And the moment you said yes to Jesus, you had that experience as well. Does anybody, watch this, let me prove it to you. I'll tell you how significant that is. Is there anybody in here that does not remember when you were born again? Anybody at all? You just don't remember when you got born again. Who remembers pretty much the exact place, the exact circumstances that got you to Jesus? Raise your hands. Oh, just about everybody. Why? Because it's a significant encounter. There are two major significant encounters in the life of every believer. The first one is the Spirit of God coming and bringing the born-again experience. Now let's look at the second major encounter of the disciples that you and I are promised. The disciples' second major experience is found here in Luke 24 and verse 49. Look what it says there. It says, "Behold, Jesus made a promise. I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued." You see that word endued? I want you to write in your notes what that word means in the Greek. That word means to be clothed with power. It actually means to put on a garment. Isn't that powerful? It means you're actually putting on a garment. It's like a robe of power falls upon you. That's what it means. Now listen, this is not, why the difference? Because you already got the Holy Ghost in you. So this experience is not about the Holy Ghost coming in you because He's already inside of you. This experience is about the Holy Ghost coming upon you to work through you. Oh, that's good. He's with you. Well, I'll go over that in a few minutes here. I don't want to get ahead of myself too much. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait until you're endued with power from on high." You know what the problem with many believers today is? They want to start their ministry without power.
Amen.
And they don't... you know what? Oh, I've heard this. And I'm sure you've heard this too. It's such a wrong teaching and wrong concept. We don't have to wait for the Holy Ghost anymore. You know, he was already sent. Wait a second. Yes, I agree for the born again experience. But there's a principle here. Wait till you get filled with power. Wait till you get filled with power. If you're called, is there anybody here that you know you're called to full, you're called to minister? Whether full time or part time, raise your hands. All right. First of all, every one of you should be in my FMA. I'll license or ordain you if you go through my course, number one. Number two, dare not go into ministry unless you've been endued with power. Don't even think about it. I'm just giving you some free godly advice right now. Don't go into ministry until you've got the power of the Holy Ghost living through you. Because the moment you say yes to ministry, boom, bullseye is placed all over you. On your forehead, your chest, your back, your legs, everywhere. Family, finances, your emotions, your past, bullseye of the enemy. Don't dare try to do ministry without being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean you can't witness or share God's love. I'm talking about stepping out and starting a ministry. Just don't do it. For your sake, don't do it. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Do whatever it takes. Fast, pray. You know, I went on a fast to get, for my baptism in the Holy Spirit. I cried out to God. I cried out. It took me about 3 months. But you know what? And the reason why it took me 3 months is because my first experience with Jesus was at a Baptist church. And they told me that the Holy Ghost was for the old past. So I had all this wrong doctrine inside of me. So I had to purge. I had to brainwash my spirit and my emotions from these false teachings about the Holy Spirit. And I purged myself with teachings of Papa Hagen and faith and faith and faith. And then one day in Pascagoula, Mississippi, I got filled with the Holy Ghost at Bethel Assembly of God. I'll never forget it. I know exactly what took place, what was happening that day, what the experiences I saw. I know exactly what I felt. It was the most glorious experience of my life. Jesus says, I'm promising you power, and it's going to come like clothing upon you. It'll come like clothing upon you. That's why Jesus says, don't go anywhere, but wait. And when I fill you with power, I'm going to send you, he says, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. But you're going to go with power. So do you see the two differences between John chapter 20 and Acts and the promise of Acts 1? Why would Jesus tell the disciples, hear me now, watch this. Why would Jesus, when Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. George, why don't you read for me Acts 1 verse 8 if you don't mind. Read if you will that for me out loud. Why would Jesus say in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, 10 days before Pentecost, or 40 days after he was resurrected. Gotta read that for me.
But you shall receive power.
Look at that. He says, you shall. That's a promise. That is not a maybe, or if you're good enough, or if you're faith. It says, that's a promise. That's a given. Why? Watch this. Fruits are grown. Gifts are given. A gift is undeserved. You could treat me bad. You could curse at me. And if I give you a gift, that's not because you deserved it. That's out of the abundance of my heart. And the Holy Ghost is a gift out of the abundance of God's heart. You don't deserve it. Jesus says, you shall receive power. When?
After the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
So the power comes when the Holy Ghost comes. Go ahead.
And after the Holy Spirit... Sorry, this thing is...
And you shall be witnesses.
And you shall be witnesses... To me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Do you see that? Jesus says, don't go, don't even try to start a ministry in your own backyard, Jerusalem. Don't even venture out into Judea or Samaria, where it's a little more hostile, or the ends of the earth. Don't even do it until you got the power. Is that clear or not? That's the words of Jesus. Very, very, very clear. Turn the page over if you will. Jesus makes it very, very clear. He's releasing power. He's releasing the Holy Spirit. The importance of hungering and thirsting is so critical. Look at Revelation 22:17 there in your notes. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Paul says, I would that you would not be ignorant. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says this, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says, concerning spiritual gifts, I wish that you would not be ignorant. The word ignorant is have no knowledge, no experience, no insight, no revelation about gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you read especially verse 7 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, it's talking about the different manifestations, the 9 gifts of power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Guess what? That means we can be ignorant. It's possible to be ignorant about the power of God. And that's what Paul wrote. Do you know that when Paul wrote that, he wrote that to a bunch of immature believers? They were new in the faith, but they were operating in the Holy Ghost. And Paul didn't come to say, you shouldn't be doing that. He didn't come and say, you shouldn't be prophesying yet, or you shouldn't be laying hands on people yet, you're too young. He says, I'm so glad that, and as a matter of fact, he says, I wish everybody would prophesy in Corinth. They were young believers, but he encouraged them to go even more in the Holy Ghost, but do it with wisdom. That's what he was saying. Even though they were virgin in the faith, young in the faith, but he encouraged them, go for it, hunger more. Thirst more. Drink more. Get empowered more. That's how we learn, church. And let me tell you something. What keeps us from actually manifesting the Holy Spirit is fear of failure. Step out and do it. There are times where I've called words of knowledge and Nobody, you know, maybe I missed it. Many times I hear afterwards, I was afraid, I was embarrassed to come up, that was me. I go, you should have come forward. That when the word of knowledge is given, that's when the anointing is there, come forward. But there are times I'm sure I've missed it, on words of knowledge or feeling this or whatever. But you know what? That's how you learn. You step out. Just never prophesy you're going to marry so-and-so and that never comes about. That would be terrible. Right? I mean, the gift of prophecy is not your license to prophesy you're going to marry this person. Not even to, and that, the gift of prophecy is not even, you know what? Hold on, Baba. You're going to have a baby girl. I've had people actually, oh, so-and-so said I'm going to have a baby girl, and they actually buy all their nursery stuff in the baby's room for a girl, and they wind up being twins of boys. The gift of prophecy is never meant to predict the future. It's never meant to predict sex of eight of babies or who you're going to marry. That's the office of a prophet. But the gift of prophecy is three things: edify, exhort, and comfort. Very simple. Just build people up. And you don't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord." The Holy Ghost tells me. You can just say, "You know, brother, I just feel the Holy Spirit's, you know, the Lord's going to do this in your life. I'm building Keith up. I just feel by the Lord that, you know, he's got some great things for you. I sense in my heart there's a breakthrough coming in your life. I'm building him up. I ain't got to polish it with, thus saith the Lord. You can. I mean, I you know, but some people do it, you know, with, they change their voice and, you know, and they go into this, you know, trance or whatever. Just all this stuff. And that's not necessary. I mean, some people may operate. I just thank God I don't have that kind of anointing. Thank God for that. But, you know, when I just prophesy, just prophesy the word of God, love on people. Let me tell you, I was talking to somebody today, and they were telling me that some Baptist church all of a sudden has asked this really nonchalant young adult in his 20s to teach this Baptist church about the Holy Spirit, because this young man's a Baptist, but he operates in great discernment and the great word of knowledge and great prophecy. And this young dude says, you know what? The churches, the young people today, they're not interested in just, you know, the supernatural, you know, manifestations of spiritual people. They just want people to just do it. Just do it. You know, just manifest the Holy Ghost normally. You ain't gotta lose your breath to prophesy or, you know, to give a word of knowledge. Just love on Jesus and declare the word of God. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's old wineskin. And if that works for you, fine. You go ahead and prophesy that way. But I'm not going to do that. I shouldn't say that because you just never know what might happen, right?
Oh, let me tell you a true story. Let me tell you a true story. I'm going to tell my sister-in-law Stephanie. She's at a conference and she had a big thing against this Rodney Howard Brown laughing in the Holy Ghost thing. She's at the Maybe Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's about 15,000 people. It's jam-packed. Rodney Howard Brown is there and some other people are there. Charismatic conference. She's sitting way up there. She's dressed in this elegant white dress. And she, Holy Ghost laughter begins to break out. She goes, that's not God. How offensive. Who's ever been to the Maybe Center? Anyone ever been there? It's like a regular arena. You know, goes, you know, tiers and everything, stadium. So she's sitting way up there and she's crossing her arms and people are laughing all over her and she's offended. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost had this orchestrated. The seat in front of her was empty. Watch this. It's empty. She's wearing a dress, not pants, wearing a dress. The Holy Ghost hits her. She flips over head first in the empty seat in front of her. The dress is completely enveloping the seat. Her legs are caught up in the air. She's laughing hysterically, saying, oh, okay, Holy Ghost, I accept, I believe it now. But she could not stop laughing. Her head was stuck in between the seats. Everybody saw her, you know what? Don't ever tell the Holy Ghost you don't believe in something. Because the Holy Ghost may just do something upon you. So Lord, in Jesus' name. Point D. Look at point D. Three major phases in every believer's life. Three major phases. Not experiences, but phases.
Real quick, let me go through them so I can get to the crux of what I want to share tonight. The three major phases are this. The Holy Spirit is with you. Number two, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And number three, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see the difference? He's with you before your salvation. He comes to live inside of you at salvation. He comes upon you after salvation. I'll say that again. He's with you before you're saved. He comes to live inside of you when you're saved. And then He comes upon you after you're saved. Three major phases in the life of every believer. This is our inheritance. Every one of us have already experienced the first major encounter, the born-again experience. We should all be contending for the second major experience, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Every one of us should go for it. Most of us have Him with us, and He's already in us. But we need Him upon us. Amen? We need that major phase, because that phase brings power upon our lives. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God wants to do. Now let's look at point number three. Let's look what the baptism in the Holy Spirit actually is. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? First of all, the baptism is a definite experience that somebody knows they had. You can't deny it. You know exactly where you were. Just like every hand was raised up when you knew exactly when you were saved. How do you know when you were saved, or exactly what happened? And how come you don't forget it? Because you were marked. You know that you know, man, I got saved on this day. I can never forget it. It was an encounter with God. Same thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you really get baptized with the Holy Ghost, you know exactly where you were, when it happened, the circumstances in your life, and what it felt like. Maybe you were flung in the air. Maybe you fell into the power of God. Maybe you felt the electricity. Maybe you were overcome with joy. Maybe you just wept and wept and wept. And you got healed and delivered. Whatever it was, but you will not be able to forget your experience if you've truly been filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you can say, yes, that's my testimony. I know exactly when I was filled. It was a major experience in my life. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a definite experience you can never forget. Because if you doubt it, then you weren't filled. It's a definite experience that one knows that they had. Why? Because Jesus made it such a high priority. He says, don't start ministry until you're filled with power. That means you're going to be able to know when the power comes upon you. That's a promise. He says, don't start ministry. Don't do anything that involves ministry until you're filled with my power. That means you should have a definite experience. You know exactly where you were and the circumstances when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Let me show you something that is absolutely phenomenal. George, turn to Acts chapter 2. Well, you know, George, you go to Hebrews 12, verse 19. Everyone else goes to Exodus chapter 19. This is absolutely beautiful. Watch this. Most of us are going to all of us are going to Exodus 19 except for George. This stunned me today. Watch this. Let me prove to you that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an unforgettable event. Watch this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, it says this. And suddenly, watch this. And suddenly there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Do you know what the word sound in the Greek means? That word sound means loud noise. It also means a very confusing noise. It also means a roar. This was not just blowing in the wind. It was a loud noise. It was a confusing noise. It was a roar. It was so violent that it got the attention of 3,000 men. Think about that. Think about how loud that noise must have been for 3,000 men to be. Because the Bible says they were all amazed. They were perplexed. What would cause 3,000 men to be perplexed and to be amazed? I guarantee the people in Oklahoma know exactly what we're talking about. With that loud roar of a noise. Confusing noise. It was a Holy Ghost tornado. But this is exactly what happened. Now watch this. I looked up the word noise in the Greek. And guess what I found? I found it to be the exact same Greek word as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 19. Read that for me if you will. Hebrews 12, verse 19 says this.
And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore.
Did you hear that? The sound! It's the same Greek word. The sound, the noise, the confusion, the roar of the trumpet. What trumpet are we talking about? The trumpet we're talking about is what we're going to read right now. The trumpet, it was actual a voice. It was the voice of God that sounded like a trumpet. It was so loud. It was so noisome. It was a roar that the people trembled. They said, we don't want to hear that voice anymore. Now watch this. Go to Exodus chapter 19. Same scenario, because Hebrews 12, 19 is speaking about the Exodus 19 experience that Moses had on the mountain with the Jewish people. Which, by the way, was a season of Pentecost, the giving of the law. Watch this. Look at verse number 18 of Exodus 19. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Picture that. Now Mount Sinai, watch this, was completely in smoke because the fire of the Lord descended upon it. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. Now watch this. And the whole mountain greatly quaked. Watch this, verse 19. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered by voice. If you read the rest of the chapter, the Bible says the people trembled in fear and they withdrew from the base of the mountain. They feared and they said, Moses, he's too awesome of a God to approach. You spend time with God and you tell us what God says and we'll obey. Basically, they were happy to be saved but not filled. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Moses was hungry. He who is thirsty, let him come and drink of the waters freely. Moses says, I know that those are powerful manifestations. The thunder, the lightning, the loud trumpet voice, you know, the roar, the noise, the smoke, the fire. But I know that all that fire is only a manifestation. But behind that fire is a God of grace. Moses knew. That's what the Bible says. Moses knew God. Israel knew the acts of God. Moses knew the ways of God. He knew the personality of God. This is a direct reference to Pentecost season when the law was given. It was a loud, noisome experience. How could you forget a loud, blasting noise of an experience when you're filled with the Holy Ghost? Awesome. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will not forget. Look at your notes. Acts 2, 6 and 7 says this. And when the sound occurred, same experience of the upper room. When the sound occurred, the multitude came together. And they were what? Confused. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed. And they marveled. Why? Because of all this Holy Ghost activity. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 45. Give me 10 more minutes, we'll be done here. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon, see the word again, upon. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word of God being preached. The voice goes forth, the word of God, then the Holy Spirit falls. And those of the circumcision, or the Gentiles, the non-Jews who believed, the Jews who believed were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles as well. Do you see how people are perplexed? They're amazed. Acts chapter 19. Turn the page over. 2 through 6. Paul says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, well, we never even heard of such a thing about the Holy Spirit. And then Paul says, Paul laid hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. These are all experiences with the Holy Spirit. Now let's, as we get ready to close, if I can have someone go to the keyboard. And then we're going to pray for some of you. Because I really believe the Spirit of God wants to give encounters to people tonight. Let's look at the results. What are the results when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to go very, very quickly through them. And you can read them in detail. Number one, you shall receive power. We've already read that. You shall receive power, the Bible says. But what is, how is that power manifested? Watch this. This is important. Here's how the power is going to be manifest. If you are struggling with major sin in your life, you need a fresh and filling of the Holy Ghost if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says this, watch this. There in your notes. Jesus' prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now watch this. For yours is the kingdom and the power. That word power is the same Greek word for dunamis. When you receive power from the Holy Ghost. Same word. Jesus says, you shall receive power. That's the word, Greek word dunamis. You will receive dunamis when the Spirit comes upon you. Jesus says, yours is the kingdom and the dunamis. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit is to deliver us from the power of sin. We have the ability to resist sin and temptation because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Number two, this is beautiful. The end times will be marked with the manifestation of Jesus coming in great power. Watch this. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with dunamis. Same Greek word, power. And great glory. What that means to me is that the church is going to grow in the levels of power until the ultimate power manifested when Jesus comes. The greatest manifestation of power when Jesus shows up and the sword is coming out of his mouth and his feet are like burning bronze. And the judgment of the nations, and he strikes all the kings of the earth, and every king is judged, and every nation gets saved. That's power. That's worldwide, massive Holy Ghost outpouring of healings, deliverance, justice, and salvation. And deliverance. It's going to happen. But you know what? That's just not going to happen from one day to the next day. That scripture tells me the church is going to grow in power until the fullness of the power shows up in Jesus. The end time church will grow in power. Turn the page over. Number three. Virtue or power is channeled. This is so beautiful. And I know that sometimes George tells me every so often, I feel my hand burning or my ear burning. Why is that? Because that's the power of God being experienced and felt by, in the body. Last Sunday, I leaned over to my wife. I go, my hands are, my hand is burning. When you were talking on the Holy Ghost, my hand was burning. I go, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was bearing witness to what George was preaching was right on. And the Bible says virtue or power is channeled through somebody's body to heal those afflicted with sickness. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power, that same word power in the Greek is dunamis. That dunamis had gone out of him. The King James says virtue. The word virtue is dunamis. Power flows out of our bodies. Number four, works of healing are done through the hands of anointed vessels. You can read that for yourself. How Jesus laid hands and power. The words mighty works. The word works is dunamis, performed by his hands. The power of God is resident in your hand. When you lay hands on, let me tell you something. When you know you got a gift of healing, by faith, even if you don't feel anything in the Holy Ghost, you lay hands by faith. You know my. Lay hands by faith. You don't have to feel anything. But the contact of faith can release power. I have had testimony after testimony after testimony in my trips overseas, laying hands on people. And when I go back to that same place, they say, you laid hands on me 3 years ago. And a week later or a month later, I was healed. It completely left. I've had testimony. I had a mother in Alberta, Canada. I had a word of knowledge. Someone's being healed of a kidney condition. The mother had just walked out of the building. A lady that was there ran out to get the mother, but she left already. Called her and says, the man of God called up a word of knowledge for your son. Claim it for your son. That mother took it by faith. She wasn't even in a service. Took it by faith. Her son, she had to fly her son to Guatemala City because there was a they rescheduled a kidney transplant. The mother says, I know that we're supposed to go through the surgery, but can you just do one more x-ray? And the doctor goes, we've already had several x-rays. Why do you want another one? And the mother said this, because a man of God came to my church one day, a couple of months ago, and the man of God said that there was somebody getting healed of a kidney disease. And so the doctor said, reluctantly, the doctor did it, and the doctor comes out stunned. The doctor says, I don't know what happened. Look, the kidney's perfect. The child did not have to get a kidney transplant. Can someone say amen? The mother took it by faith, and the anointing was transmitted into that child. I'm telling you, it works. Number five, unbelief hinders the power of God. Jesus could do no mighty work. The word mighty work is power, dunamis. He could do no dunamis except that he laid his hands on a few people and healed them. Number six, spiritual. This is. You should claim. Every one of you should claim number six. Spiritual power encounters are promised in our walk with the Lord. Watch this. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, there are some of you that are standing here right now who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. That means you have a right to say, Lord, give me a power. Give me a dunamis experience. Give me a power experience. Oh, Amanda. Stand up, Amanda. Amanda Howard, stand up. Someone lay hands on Amanda right now. Come, some of you get around Amanda. I hear the Lord say, Amanda, the Lord has heard your cry. You've emptied yourself, says the Spirit. You've emptied yourself for me, says the Lord. And now the Spirit of God says, I'm about to give you power encounter. After power encounter, says the Lord, I see the cry of your heart. I alone am your satisfaction. I alone am your yearning. I alone am your desire. I am your bridegroom, says God. I've given you the power revelation of a bridegroom God. And so now the Lord says, I'm about to release you with power so that you can bring about, just like I told my disciples, as I told my apostles, wait until you've been endued with power and then go. The Lord says, you're going to go. I'm going to send you with power. I'm going to send you with anointing, says the Spirit of God. I'm going to release you with my authority, says the Spirit of the living God. Father, I thank you. Mamita, ponga tu mano acá. Thank you, Lord. Ven aquí en el estómago. In the name of Jesus, we just release that, Lord God, right now. Come on, stretch your hands towards her right now. Power encounter for you, says the Lord. Oh, rabo bo shiketeya. It's a fire of the Lord all over you, Amanda. Lord, I thank you. He's heard your cry. Lord says you won't have to worry about provisions. I am your husband. I provide for you. I cover you, says God. I'm your reward, says the Lord. I watch over your daughter, says the Spirit of God. I take possession of your daughter. She's mine, says the Spirit of the living God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, someone give the Lord a shout of praise for that. That's the power of the Holy Ghost on Amanda Howard right now. I'm telling you, cry out for encounters with the Lord. You have a right to cry out for encounters in the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord for these encounters, spirit encounters. Number seven, God's power is not available to some people. It's available to everybody. Jesus rebuked John and said, John, and anybody who's preaching in my name, anyone who's casting devils out in my name, for he says, for no one who works a miracle, the word work is power, dunamis. For anyone who does a dunamis power miracle in my name will not soon speak evil of me afterwards. In other words, these guys were not even followers of Jesus. They weren't part of his discipleship gang, but they were operating in the name of the Lord. I believe there was a corporate resident anointing all around Israel because of Jesus. And those who would tap into it by faith could operate. It's kind of like, you're tapping into your neighbor's electricity when you're out of electricity. You can do that. Jesus was a walking Holy Ghost generator. And anybody who would just tap into faith, they got the power. Even though it was borrowed power, but nonetheless, it was there. Are you hearing me? These were men that were not even followed. They were not part of Jesus' gang. But they had power. As for everybody, number eight, the power of God will release revelation of the glorified Christ in the last days. Number nine, I love this one. The spirit of prophecy, which is the spirit of Elijah, is rooted in the power of God to restore and save souls and prepare the church for as a bride of Christ. Because the Bible says that John will go before him in the spirit and dunamis power of Elijah. The spirit of prophecy is rooted in dunamis. Number 10, I love this one. This is glorious, guys. This proves over and over again that we must have refilling encounters with the Spirit of God. Watch this. How many of you remember in Luke 3, Jesus, the heavens open up, and the Bible says, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son. You know the story, right? But then the Bible says this, in one of the Gospels, it says this, and Jesus was filled. Filled. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit in Galilee. In other words, he returned in power. He was filled again with power. What caused the refilling? Resisting temptation. Fighting in spiritual warfare. When we are faithful in spiritual warfare, guess what happens? You are filled. See, some of you are nodding because you know what I'm talking about, because you're walking in this. When Jesus came back, he resisted the enemy. And that even though he was weak in body, but when he came out, I mean, on the 40th day, he was weak. The Bible says he was hungry and he was weak. But the Bible says he had power. He had new, fresh power. Every time we win against temptation and against the lie of the enemy, you get refilled. Your body may be weak, but your spirit is renewed with fire and power. Someone say hallelujah. That's next time you get tempted. Think of it this. Don't say, oh, why am I being tempted? Say, hallelujah, I'm about to get filled with the Holy Ghost all over again. Look at it that way. Number 11. The Word of God is taught with power. Power. The Word of God is taught with power. There's a typo there. I apologize for that. But Luke 4:32 talks about how people marveled because Jesus taught the Word of God with authority and with power, dunamis. In other words, the Word of God has great access in the hearts of people because of power, dunamis. Number 12, the power or dunamis of God is released with authority to cast out devils. Number 13, God's power can be discerned. Did you know that you can discern the power of God? I just discerned right there. I just knew the Spirit of God was all over a man. You can just see. I sensed it. Discern it. And you just release it. You can discern the power of God. The Bible says that the Spirit, the power of the Lord was present to heal. And then Jesus moved into it. Number 14, we're given power. This is beautiful. We are given dunamis to forgive sins. Did you know that? You have the authority to go to a sinner and say, your sins are forgiven you. You can say that with power and authority because you know the Word. Number 15, both leadership and followers of Christ are given power over all devils to cure diseases, to be sent out to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. You find that in Luke 9, 1 and Luke 10, 17. Turn the page over. We're almost done here. Number 16, the baptism in the Holy Spirit clothes one with power, as with a garment. We read that in Luke 24:49 already. Number 17, it's the power of God that gives us the ability to become sons of God. We talked about the born-again experience. When it says there, as many as received Him, He gave them the right to the word right in the Greek is the word dunamis, power. Number 18, we are empowered to be effective witnesses. So we receive power to be a witness. Number 19, the Holy Spirit releases great grace in connection with great power. Oh, I preach a whole, I wrote almost a full page on that one verse alone. I was trying to figure out how am I going to share this one point alone. So I'm going to save it for another day and just teach on the great grace and great power marriage connection. Number 20, the perfect balance of fullness of faith and fullness of power releases extraordinary manifestations of the Spirit. And Stephen was full of faith and power and did great wonders and signs among the people. Great wonders and great signs. Number 21, the power of God enables us to baptize others. It says there, the apostles had come down, they prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for they had not received the Holy Spirit yet. only been baptized in the name of Jesus, in other words, water baptism, and then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Number 22, God's power opens our eyes from deception, turns into the truth, enabling us to receive forgiveness, receive an inheritance, and they live a sanctified life. Number 23, God's power does a deep work in our hearts. Oh, I can teach on this as well, powerfully. God's power does a deep work in our hearts to confirm the work of sonship by the Spirit of holiness. In other words, the power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will convince you that you're a son of God because you're living holy. Holiness releases power and convinces you, I'm a son of God. I'm not going to doubt that. I'm not going to allow shame, guilt, or condemnation. When we are burdened by shame, guilt, and condemnation, it's because we're lacking holiness. And we don't realize the power of sonship that comes through power of the Holy Ghost. These are all fruits or manifestations of the baptism. See, we used to think, like George said on Sunday, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is only for power and miracles. No, it covers holiness, righteousness, resisting temptation, confidence in the ministry. It covers every area of your life. Releases grace, assurance before the Lord. Oh, this is glorious. 24, we're strengthened. George talked about this, a part of this as well. We're strengthened to abound in hope and joy and peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written. Again, there's a typo. I got to talk to my secretary. Too many typos here today. That's the wrong, it's the right verse, but the wrong script. Let me make a note of that as well. But the Bible says that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we become filled with hope, joy, and peace. Number 25, last one. God's power establishes and sets us on in our faith. Now unto him who is able to keep you according to my gospel. Amen? According to my gospel. I believe that's even the wrong verse too. But is it? I believe it's Romans 16:25. What is it? Let's all turn to Romans 16 for a second. We'll close with this. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you can say the Lord is speaking to us tonight? Romans 16. Oh, Holy Spirit, come upon us, we pray tonight. Touch our lives, we ask, Lord God. You are able to change us, transform us. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of God, we pray, Lord, touch our lives. Just lift up your hands, if you will, for a moment right now. God's power establishes us and sets us in our faith. The word established, that's what it is. It's the right verse. Now unto him is able to establish you. That word establish you is power, dunamis. Unto him that is able to establish you. Oh God, would you establish us? Some of us need a fresh confidence of being established in our faith. Established in our walk with the Lord. Some of us need confidence. I believe that's one of the things the Lord's going to do tonight, George, is confidence. He wants to release confidence afresh inside of us. Because sometimes we've only been taught a portion of what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about. The baptism of the Holy Ghost releases confidence in our walk, assurance in our faith, gives us the ability to stand secure. Listen, as long as you live in the faith, you're going to always face assaults. You're going to face false accusations. You're going to battle negative thoughts. You're going to battle fear. And you cannot succumb to that. You got to push through. That's what Jesus says. It is written. It is written. It is written. You got to use the word against the enemy. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord tonight. Would you release a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit tonight on some of us? Why don't you stand up with me if you will? If I can have Enrique and George and Keith come up. Thank you, Lord. Some of you that you know. You're operating in fullness of the Holy Ghost baptism. I want you to come forward as well. If you're living and walking in that, you know. You're walking in the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit. God's doing that in your life. I want you to come up here with me if you don't mind. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we thank you. The rest of you, lift up your hands. Father, I ask tonight, release a fresh infilling. fresh baptism tonight. We're just going to offer some prayer to you right now. But I believe that the Holy Spirit, there's some here tonight, that the Holy Spirit wants to release confidence and assurance all over again. Some of you tonight need to experience that refilling of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are saying, I need a desperate encounter. I need a desperate, you know, re-encounter with the Lord. Whatever it is that the Lord is doing inside of you, you say, yes, I want you to come forward right now. We're going to pray for you right now. Just come forward right now for a moment, if you will. You're saying, yes, I identify with one of those things you mentioned here tonight. I need a fresh infilling, fresh power. I just want you to line up, if you will, on this line in front of me here. Just stand on that line, if you will, for a moment. Side to side, move all the way forward to the line, please. Just make way, just side by side. There's plenty of space all along the line. Nobody standing behind anybody, please. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You guys, can we just move down a little bit more? Just move down a little bit more to you. Thank you. Just move down a little bit. There you go. Father, lift up your hands right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. Ask you to come.
I'm just sensing the Lord that to begin to hunger is the prerequisite sometimes for the infilling of the Spirit. So I just ask the Holy Spirit, just ask the Lord to give you hunger. Cry out for this. It's not going to happen while you just sit there and let us lay hands on you. Begin to cry out in hunger. Begin to cry out in desperation right now for a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God. However it may come, just say, God, I am in need of a fresh infilling of God. You need to have a holy desperation in this. Come on, begin to ask the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled again. I need to be filled. It may not come in tongues, but it may come in power. Right, unbelief could hinder your infilling process. So just right now, by faith, just lift up your hands and let go of all bitterness and unbelief and anything that hinders right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I am yours. I'm an empty vessel. And I hear the Lord saying, some of you have been burned out. I hear that. I hear the Spirit of God strongly on me now, saying that many of you have been burned out. Wave at me. This is why you need, some of you need a fresh infilling because you feel burned out. Wave at me. I feel the Spirit of God wants to rekindle the priorities of the Lord so you will not be burned out. And the Holy Spirit is going to give you that strength and that power and that unction. Let's go ahead and worship the Lord right now. Come on, lift up your hands.
Spirit, oh, come here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Know this. If you ask, He will give. If you ask, He will give. God is the giver of good and perfect gifts. He desires to release this upon you. This is the hour. Hunger for it. Every thought that's combating you right now, this very moment, every thought that's coming against you, right now, even as you're standing on this line, there are thoughts that's coming against you. Just say, I receive it. Just receive it by faith. No matter what thought is coming against you, receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. Doesn't matter what you've done. Receive it by faith. Right now.
Can we get some of you that are standing in the audience to come behind these people so we can pray for them? Let's begin to work. Praise the Lord. If you don't mind, worship the Lord if you can.
While we're worshiping, I feel the Spirit of God saying two things. Burnout, but also some of you feel unworthy to be. I'm hearing this from the Lord. Some of you feel unworthy to receive. Lift up your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break that lie. That you're not worthy to receive because of past failures. We release the Spirit of God right now to come in as once before. We release the burning of the Lord. Whoa. Lift up your hands right now. Come on, pray. Let's begin to pray right now. I break every feeling of unworthiness. Every feeling of unworthiness, we release it. Come on, with everything we have. Everything we have right now. Lift up your voice.
Right now.
Your prayer.